Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the March 6th edition of Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The Dow continues to break, but the grains and the oilseeds seem to be holding their own. What's next for these turbulent markets? We'll try to find out a bit later today on Commodity Week, when our guest will be the Lynn Group's Roy Huckabee. Our panelists in studio today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, Jackie Banks of the Stuart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Illinois, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Here's how the commodity markets in Chicago settled on their weekly trade composite, high and low, Friday to Friday changes. March contract in the wheat pit, a high this week of $5.22 1/4. The low at 488 1/4, with a settlement price 5 3/4 cents higher over the Friday previous at $5.16 1/4. July wheat at 538 3/4, up 5.5 cents. March corn a high for the week at 357, the low at 337 1/4, settled 2 cents higher at 352 3/4. In the December harvest month, finished 1/4 cent lower at $3.90 3/4. March soybean futures $8.88 1/2 the high, the low at 843. The settlement price up 4.5 cents for the week at $8.79. November beans, the new crop, $8.15, down 12.5 cents. March oat futures, $1.74, finished 10.5 cents lower. April live cattle this week at a high of 85.55, a low at 82.15, with a settlement price in the April, and it is the new lead option, at 82.45, down 7.5 cents. April to April, by the way, was down $3.47 1/2. March contract, $90.50 for the feeder cattle, $2.10 lower. Lean hog futures, April contract, $62.70 for the high, the low at $59.85, with the settlement price at $62.50, finished $1.60 higher.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open our discussion today with this question. We heard during the week this week that it's possible the commodities could put a low in sooner, meaning maybe this spring rather than later. What are your assumptions about the marketplace at this point? Jackie Vakes.
My assumptions about the marketplace. Okay, I guess I need to clarify what you're asking me. Are you really asking me, am I assuming it's going to go a lot higher shortly, or is it going to go a lot lower shortly, or what are you asking me exactly?
I want to know if you think it's going to go a lot lower shortly.
A lot lower. I think we could go lower after we get the USDA report out at the end of the month. If we see a lot of increase in corn acres, any lower than the December lows, I don't think so.
Wayne Nelson?
Well, I'd have to agree with Jackie. I don't think we will take out the December lows until after the March 31st report and see what the planning intentions are. This can all change depending on what the Dow Jones does. If we can get down and find some stability in here, not going below the maybe 5,500 mark or something like that, and maybe seeing a little rebound start with that would help immensely. Also, a little increase in the crude oil sure wouldn't hurt anything.
And Kurt Kimmel?
Well, this last week, some of the contracts did record weekly price reversals to the upside, so maybe we get some follow through there. The market has been making some lows, rally for about a week or two, then go down, make another low, lower lows, lower highs. Seasonally, we try to move higher here, but like Wayne said, I think all eyes are on the outside markets, whether we see some stability in the Dow or not.
All eyes are on the outside market, but is there one commodity that you're watching more than the others to see if it will lead either down or up in the marketplace?
Well, it varies what your position is. You're always looking for some leadership somewhere. I think the energies is one to watch, but I think the overall investment community and the funds and everybody in the United States is watching the Dow.
Everybody's watching the Dow. And where do you think?
Copper seems to be one of the things that's been mentioned on the news wires immensely. I didn't notice that mentioned at all for months and months and months. And over the last week, Todd, I bet I've seen it 25 times.
Right. And I think another thing that has to be watched closely is the U.S. dollar from a commodity standpoint. You know, the U.S. dollar right now is being invested in by outside countries looking at our economy being stronger. After it, when we once see that dollar begin to sink, and I do believe we will at some point in time, should indicate that we've got more stability in the world.
What would you call weakness in the dollar?
Weakness in the dollar?
I mean, that you want it to sink. So where would you decide?
82.
82?
Yeah.
Anybody else? No?
Well, I think that maybe Jackie is right that we will see commodity prices raise up if we sink the dollar. I'm not really for the sinking dollar as such that way. I'd like to see stability in our dollar. I would like to see the crude oil creep up a little bit, and I'd like to see our stock exchange seem to stabilize along the way. I'm hoping that we don't just go in and plant every acre we can and make up for every acre we planted a couple of years ago, because, you know, we're actually 4.5 million acres less than on our estimates so far as to what we have planted at the most in the past. So I just hope that maybe we let some more marginal acres not get planted this year, Todd.
Well, I think that, you know, that's a good point. And when you go back to the dollar, we get a double-edged sword with the dollar from the standpoint that if the dollar weakens a great deal, it gives the implication that things are getting better around the world, but it also makes it harder for the U.S. to borrow money, because we really do use that currency for a standard as far as borrowing money goes. And in our situation, it'd be great for commodities to see it get weaker, but from a borrowing standpoint, it makes it tougher. I believe it will get weaker eventually.
Jobs data was out this week, Kurt. Loss of 651,000. I know this is outside of our purview just a bit. Unemployment rate is now 8.1%. Most people eat, but they won't eat nearly as well probably over the coming year, or as they have those losses of jobs. How does it impact the marketplace?
Well, it's a concern. Those people have lost jobs. They're going to have a tough time paying their bills. They even went back and revised the January and December. Unemployment's a lot worse than what they thought. It's probably going to keep getting a little bit worse as time goes on. There's ideas unemployment could probably top 9 to 10% here shortly. But even if you have a job, you're concerned you're cutting back. So the overall psychology is there that it's going to keep a lid on things until this unemployment number starts to go the other way.
USDA has a report due out same day that we have our all-day Ag Outlook meeting next Tuesday at the Beef House in Chicago. I think that's right.
Is that it's out Wednesday.
It's on Wednesday. That makes it better for us. I was thinking it was Tuesday. Out Wednesday morning. Nonetheless, they have a report out for ending stocks on Wednesday of next week. A 1.811 billion bushel average for corn now, according to the trade. Soybeans at 200 million left. And wheat at 659. What do you think of those numbers?
Well, in general, this is a do-nothing report, Todd. But the last time we did not adjust down the corn usage number, and there's some people who think we could increase the carryout on corn because of the way the ethanol plants have stayed idled, or so many of them have stayed idle for so long here. And that, of course, will never be used because we'll go back to production. It'll take a while to get back up. So that's the one possibility of what could go in there. But most people think the government will leave these numbers alone. And then we will wait, and actually the big report will, of course, be March 31st and see what they do say about the balance of bean and corn acres and how many acres they do stick in there.
Let's use that ethanol comment to segue into ethanol plants and production. Washington, D.C. is talking just a bit about raising the blend rate to 15%, up from 10%. What kind of impact might it have?
Well, it could have a dramatic impact. The question comes down to whether or not we can manufacture enough to be able to do it. And we did talk before the program about who monitors it, you know, and how do we – with the way the program is set up, because they can borrow and take credits and borrow against next year, you really don't know for sure. But it could have a tremendous impact. The big thing we have right now is we can mandate 15%. We just don't have enough capacity at this stage to be able to produce 15%.
But, Todd, as we look at that also, we can import the balance of that. Mm-hmm. Also, we can drop that down as long as we keep going. And you can give a one-year variance on your imports with their import tax on that. And that would still be wonderful to use every bit we could produce right here. It would sure help our corn market. And I'm sure that Brazil would not be unhappy with so we dropped our import tax and import a little bit. We're importing quite a bit of ethanol right now that people don't realize.
Well, it seems like a glimmer of hope, but US EPA says, hey, even if we did it, it would be a very, very long time away before that kind of action would be taken in Washington, D.C. Can you hang hope on it, or do you have to look for other items that are in the news or in the supply side to move the commodity markets higher?
Well, to move the commodity markets higher, like I mentioned, it's you got to resume investor confidence. You got to have some these funds get confident back in to buy it. You got to have the average person confident where he spends money, where consumption goes up. A lot of buyers are going hand to mouth right now because the trend's been down. Why buy today? I think it's going to get cheaper tomorrow. So if we can resume overall confidence and spook these guys into buying, I think demand could come back in a hurry.
I'd like to poll everybody on old crop that's left in the bin, and let's say not talk about the sales we've made already, but left in the bin, it's unpriced. What do you do with that for corn?
Well, I think you get a put and get some downside protection, or else you just go ahead and move it and replace it with some paper because basis is fairly strong, and we get calls every day with a lot of inventory to be moved yet here this spring.
Kurt's very much right. The basis level is tremendously good. If you haven't cored bins, you're just plain dealing with dynamite because there's a lot of corn that is going out of condition. So, you know, we're highly along the lines of doing that. One of the things that ADM has recommended was possibly moving the corn out and buying a D's $4 call and selling a $5.50 call. I think the $4 call closed at 54 cents and the $5.50 at 21. And that's a way of re-owning that and sitting in there with a very safe position. And your corn can't go out of condition if you already have the check in the bank.
Yeah, and you know, we're basically doing the same thing. We said basis is good right now. And if you know you need cash flow, do it. You can always buy the futures and buy a put against it and have a fixed risk position. That's not a bad thing to do.
Do it, but have you had luck getting guys to do it?
Yes. I actually have this week.
Not on a large scale. I mean, everybody's got – they're like deer. They got headlights. It's a hole, but they are open for ideas, and it's slowly come around, but not like what they should be doing.
Well, everybody says that you ought to do it, but, Jackie, I think you're probably – yes, you ought to do it. And pretty demanding about it. Maybe I'm not sure where you stand.
Well, I asked for a callback. You know, I'll say check your basis, and a lot of times, you know, they'll call back in, and I definitely try to help them if I know that they have cash flow needs, you know, coming up shortly. Because if you wait until everybody else is going to sell, that basis isn't going to be as good anymore.
Well, and that is one of the things that's going to happen is that everybody's going to have to start making some sales here pretty shortly, I would think, because cash rents are going to come due. Fairly soon.
Guys right now are telling me that in most places, or at least right around this area north of here, you get to take in one load a day because the lines are so long because there was a lot of advanced sold corn. So if you haven't sold it, you can be in big trouble.
Why is it, if the lines are so long, that basis is good?
Because it was sold in advance. And they had already sold it to someone else.
So really that they... There are lines, but they're still not getting enough. Surely demand for corn is not that great at this point. Is there something else that we're missing along the way, or is it?
I think Jackie's just an area where a lot of corn has been moving as of late.
Well, that could be true, too.
I mean, I will say this, and I'm not making fun of her, because I don't know what's moving in her area, but in our area, the lines aren't there, and you can haul on in. And I know our guys that are hauling 4 and 5 loads a day. So I think that might be regionalized as far as that goes.
Well,
but in general, the farming community has been very, very tight holders. There's more corn in the bin than usual at this time of year. And I think that, and as she said, this is already maybe booked in export trains or whatever, something that is moving out. And I think the ethanol plants that are running are definitely on a very tight schedule and haven't bought way ahead.
Well, there's some areas where the elevator's full of farmer corn. The elevator's moved their corn, but the farmer's still storing it. They don't have room. In fact, the elevator's starting to offer free DP to try to push it on on down the pipeline. But it varies location to location. Some areas still got wide basis. Others, container markets, you're talking premium. So it varies quite a bit.
We've got really strong basis at this point because farmers aren't letting go of the crop. But does that necessarily mean that – that doesn't necessarily mean the demand is good. It just means that they don't have current needs met, I think. Am I right on that?
Well, and I think that really strong basis was a reflection of the river not being open also in a lot of ways. You know, so that's going to change. And the river up north, when you look up into Minnesota and stuff, is going to probably open up the latest it has this year in many, many, many years. So that is definitely having an impact on a better basis up in those areas. But – you know, I don't know who you were talking to or what the end user was, but when you look at your cattle people, you know, out in Kansas and out in Nebraska and places like that, a lot of those guys are out trying to buy corn, and they're having people discourage them saying, oh, don't worry, price is going to go a lot lower. So there's plenty of people who still need to acquire. In fact, I don't see a whole lot of difference between a producer who won't sell in an uptrending market and an end user who will not buy in a downtrending market. And so there are a lot of end users, I believe, that are just sitting out there not covered.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It is Friday, March the 6th. We'll be back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Roy Huckabee.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. A cold end to February segued into a cold start for March, with temperatures dropping into the single digits early this week as cold high pressure settled in over the Midwest. Once that high moved to the east, however, the weather warmed up quickly, with temperatures reaching the 40s and 50s by Wednesday and 60s statewide on Thursday. Despite the late week warm-up, temperatures this week averaged well below normal across the state. The only precipitation the first part of this week was some lake effect snow in northeastern Illinois and some snow that fell across far southern Illinois last weekend. By late week, the strong southerly flow brought not only warmer air but moisture into the Midwest. A frontal system approaching from the west late in the week set off showers and thunderstorms across the area, the first significant precipitation of the month, on the heels of a wet February across most of Illinois. The second week of March looks like an active one across Illinois, with more showers and thundershowers probably spreading across Illinois on Tuesday into Wednesday. The weather will be seasonably mild to that point, but once the system moves through, temperatures will be on a downward trend the rest of the week, and next weekend is likely to be a cold, breezy affair with temperatures well below normal. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the March 6th edition of Commodity Week from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio are Jake Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Illinois, Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana. With 25 years of experience at the Lynn Group, our guest is Roy Huckabee. He's a principal of the firm and part of the management team, overseeing much of the company's day-to-day operations. He's the director of market research for all of the Lynn Group's commodity sectors, authoring the Daily Grain Fundamental Wires. And thank you for being with us, Roy. We appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure, Ted.
What's the biggest fear on the trading floors in Chicago at this point, and how likely is that fear to come to pass, do you think?
Well, the biggest fear is the economy meltdown. Look at the Dow and the S&P, and every time somebody wants to talk about demand coming back or grain prices getting too cheap, everybody looks around and says, no.
Well, Roy, what's it going to take to turn the psychology here, you think?
Confidence in the ability of the Obama administration to do something constructive. We felt that, meaning our firm, felt that this free checkbook that he had would allow him to turn things rather quickly, but we thought it was something that would hold the Dow without making new lows. We got down into the 7,000 price range. We felt like we could get a bounce from that. So breaking down here into new lows was really disappointing for us. And I think that the plans that he's brought forward have been ideas without detail. And the market has not bitten on that. People want to see detail. And the budget that he proposed last week, it left a lot of people feeling really cold. Obama wants to take from the rich and give to the poor, and all of a sudden we're finding a lot of people who never considered themselves rich being considered rich.
That would be right, Roy, because I didn't know $250,000 made you ultimately wealthy. But
that's husband and wife combined.
No, I know it doesn't make you all wealthy, but anyhow, say, well, let's get specific. So, because we don't want to be like Obama, we want to do this right, Roy. So, what's some specific recommendations you do for a farmer that hasn't marketed anything of the new crop, and let's say he's got 50% of his corn in the bin yet?
I think the advice I would give him is not to be greedy. He's got a lot of company. The market that has the potential for a rally is wheat, and we've got weather built into wheat. World is still swimming with wheat. We've got a lot of competition. European wheat, $10 to $15 cheaper than U.S. wheat. Black Sea wheat, $20 cheaper than U.S. wheat. We're not seeing as much competition in corn as we did. Argentine corn is offered at U.S. values, not aggressively. Anybody wants to buy some, it'd probably run from it. The Brazilian corn is offered right at U.S. values. They have corn for sale. Black Sea corn still offered at $15 to $20 a ton discount to U.S. corn on a fob-to-fob basis. Feed wheat still offered a little more aggressively than that. So not only does the farmer still own a lot of his crop, the foreign seller still has a lot of crop for sale. So rallies are going to be anemic. In my corn chart, I draw a channel between in May corn from 345 to 395, and tell the farmer as you get into the upper end of that range, you better be doing some sort of marketing, either selling calls against his crop or marketing his crop outright. I'm worried if basis levels that are currently somewhat supported, we get back to 390. 395 corn, those basis levels may take away part of your rally.
Roy, can I ask you, in your opinion, how many cents do you think is in the market due to the problems with Argentina?
The Chinese have bought 8 cargoes of U.S. beans off the PNW this week. That's 400,000 tons of beans that we shouldn't have sold. The Chinese always buy beans from the U.S. in March and April, but it's usually fill-in business as Brazil and Argentina start to capture a larger share of the trade. We now have about 605 million beans sold that we know about. There's probably another 10 or 15 million in the unknown category, and that's a record sales pace to China, very huge deal. China is rumored all last week to have canceled bean cargoes. They canceled 2 that were reported in the sales report on Thursday. And my point all along is they've been buying more than they've been canceling. A large part of this business is because they do not want to get caught up in vessel loading delays and the uncertain political arena in Argentina. Now, it's kind of interesting is what's happened is the Argentine, there are no FOB bean offers in Argentina right now. Argentina has about 5 to 5.5 million, maybe as much as 6 million tons of beans to carry out this year. That's the largest ever carryout they've ever had, but they're being held by the farmer. Farmer doesn't want to take Argentine pesos. They think the government's in trouble, and they think the peso's in trouble, and they'd rather hold on to a cash commodity rather than selling it. And just the fact that the Argentine government wants to charge them a 35% export tax is an excuse.
Does that kind of hoarding give you hope for the price of beans in Chicago?
Well, not really. I think it's a basis trade. I think the price of beans have difficulty in rallying simply because of the potential of getting too many new crop bean acres and not enough corn acres, by the way. But I think that in general, you've got a cap on the bean rally, much like you do on corn. But the Argentine situation, I'm not sure what the crop size is. Let's call it somewhere between 40 and 42 million tons, down 4 or 5 from last year. The rains that have come there have been beneficial and helped. There's only about 10 or 15% of the Argentine crop that's still under stress. But I think the political uncertainty can tie those beans up where they're just you're just unable to get to them. The Argentine market has become a big exporter to the world of meal and oil, the largest exporter of meal and oil to the world, rather than raw beans. So it has some implications on products more so than beans.
Roy, on shifting gears a little bit on corn, what would your be your idea on ethanol usage for next year?
Well, I've been at 4 billion bushels right straight through. But it's kind of a convoluted number. 4 billion bushels is 11 billion mandate for ethanol blending. It is also I'm keeping it there because I think that the Verison plants will be back up and running by summer at a much lower cost of production. I assume that these plants are going to trade at somewhere between 25 cents and 40 cents on the dollar, and that's a large bunch of capacity that at a lower cost of production can come back up and run profitably. We're marginally profitable in the ethanol industry right now for anybody that hasn't made stupid mistakes in their corn pricing.
Do you think they'll all come back up or just a portion of them?
No, I think they'll all come back up and run with somebody else owning them.
Even the little ones. I'm surprised. I would think that the little ones might be shuttered.
It's pretty expensive to build new capacity. You're talking about $230, $250 a gallon. And if you can buy these plants for 40 cents a gallon, it's amazing how profitable those little plants can be.
Roy, we appreciate you being with us today.
Got one other comment, and it goes to this corn demand, and we jumped on ethanol. Feed demand. My end users that I talk to are covered through March and not covered much beyond that. So if the ethanol demand does come back into play here, crude oil closed pretty strong tonight. Thank you, Boone Pickens. But if the markets come back to life, we've got not only the ethanol demand to cover, but also the feed demand to cover going forward past March. So demand may start to feel a little bit better in corn here.
Roy, we appreciate you taking the time, and thanks much.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Roy Huckabee is with the Lynn Group out of Chicago, Illinois. A quick final word from our panelists in studio, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
Well, I guess we can say Obama and Robin Hood. That was pretty good, but I definitely would consider selling rallies for the short term.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
We're looking forward to seeing everybody Tuesday at the Beef House. So haven't seen you since last year, and we're looking forward to seeing you this year.
And Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson.
Have a great weekend.
And don't forget to visit us over at the Beef House on Tuesday in Covington, Indiana. That's just off exit 4. We'll start registration at 7:15 a.m. You can see all the details of our all-day agricultural outlook meeting at willag.org. That's willag.org. The cost for the day is $16, and that does include your meal. I'm Todd Gleason.